itself is echoed the parable of weeds spoken by Jesus in Matthew 13. Jesus says that in this life, bad weeds will grow among good wheat, but at harvest time, they will be definitively sorted out and separated. Weeds are going to be burned, while wheat to be stored, to be eaten and enjoyed. And it is no secret that even among confessional Presbyterian churches, there are false teachers. They divide us by claiming to do the gospel or to reach out to the lost. Some even claim that since we're forgiven, we don't need to pursue holiness. And very often, they're simply taking humanism and sneaking it back into the church. They're mixing into gospel foreign elements at best, or poison at worst. If persistent, these unbiblical teachings call for clean division and separation of Christians. But even so, we're not to divide with disdain against these folks. Humility is the key to our understanding and acceptance of this deep spiritual division that we live in. While we stand firm and strive for the truth, we also speak this truth in love, in humility, and by prayer. We hope that God may show mercy and turn those from error to the truth and turn away from their sin. And this leads us to our third and final point, Christian suffering. How should we then live? Well, interestingly, this is the title of a famous Francis Schaeffer book. It is a historical cultural analysis of the decline of the West. Schaeffer was very prescient even after 40, 50 years, as he predicted at the time how a postmodern society would lose the idea of objective truth and substitute it with personal opinion. Things go according to what are like or dislike by clicking of a button in our social media. He also correctly predicts many ills in a post-Christian America, such as economic and especially family breakdown, threats of war and oppression, violence and power grab, and so on. So, how then should Christians live in present-day America, or in this kingdom of fallen men? The same question, the same answer, were given during the New Testament time. How could this Christian minority stand and strive in a time when there were threats outside and division inside under the Romans' rule? Paul gives us a glimpse how Christians should live, verses 29 to 30. Paul tells us that we should do two things. First, we are to believe in Christ. Of course, this presupposes a true Christ, the Christ of the Bible, not Christ made in our own image. And it is faith in Christ, not our own striving, that saves and unites us. Because our striving will come when we have faith in Christ. But secondly, Paul tells us that we are to suffer for Christ's sake. Now, you may say, what does this present to become a Christian? Are we to just grind every day? Are we just to suck it up and be a good soldier and put on a happy face? Well, not really. Look carefully what Paul says about this suffering. He says, for it has been granted to you. A more literal translation would say, for it has been graciously given to you. We know that our belief is granted us by grace. We can certainly find unity by reading this. But know that our suffering is also given to us by grace. Suffering is not some strange thing that catches God by surprise, or that something that God forces us to go through by His sheer power and sheer will. Our triune God graciously guides us and leads us through a life of suffering by love. God, who can work all things for the good of those who love Him, certainly can use suffering to glorify Him and to purify and to refine us, even as an instrument to bring us in unity with one another and in the gospel. Notice that compared to our glorious, unending, eternal life in the kingdom of God, when we are raised to glory, this life certainly is filled with all sorts of suffering. We face sins without and within. But God promised that we will inherit His kingdom when Christ returns to bring us home. And it is our true home. Before then, is Christ asleep now? By no means. The New Testament tells us that we are like the Old Testament pilgrims. We are traveling through wilderness. Notice that we are traveling, not individually, one by one. We are traveling as one people of God, united in Christ. The church presses onward and forward as one people of God, brought together by Him and for the sake of God. Consider how we parallel with the Old Testament saints. God redeemed the Israelites by delivering them out of Egyptian slavery. We were redeemed from a greater exodus, that is, sin and death, by Christ, who is a greater Moses. They, the Israelites, traveled and lived in the wilderness for 40 years, pressing towards the promised land, suffering along the way, being tempted, tested, and some even failed to reach them. We live in this barren life, full of tests, temptations, trials, emptiness, and suffering. But we are pressing toward a greater and a better land, the new heaven and the new earth. And we have a better high priest than Aaron, Jesus Christ our Lord, who ministers to us through His Spirit. A psalm we sang earlier, Psalm 133b, tells us in a picturesque form the oil that flows from the head of Aaron to the rest of his robe, giving us a picture of how the Holy Spirit anoints Christ, and that Christ's Spirit is given to His church, His body. What a wonderful, wonderful picture we see how Christ ministers to us in our time of need. So let us remind ourselves that we are a people united to Christ. And as a result, we suffer with Him in order to be glorified with Him. We are to take up our cross daily and follow Christ. And then, in glory, we will receive our crown. We stand for truth and light, but the world hates truth and loves darkness. We are enemies of the world because we are friends of God. Simply stated, Christ is the pattern of our life. We suffer temporary humiliation in this worldly kingdom, but we will enjoy unending exaltation in the heavenly kingdom. So that we face humiliation and insult with patience, knowing that God will vindicate us. Whoever hurts or degrades us, we will not fight back with the same tactic, because vengeance is God's, and He will repay. We can endure hardships and disappointment with grace and patience. We can freely forgive others who wrong us, because God has forgiven us. We don't curse our opponent, but we pray for them in the hope that they may also be saved. We can go on and on about implications of knowing Christ, but notice we are united to Him in our spirit, in our mind, all for His sake, so that the world knows that we belong to Christ. we do not belong to this world. We belong to Christ and to Him alone. Our suffering not only shows that we are Christ's people, but it also witnesses Christ in this fallen world when we live according to His gospel. So people of God, may you rejoice in knowing that God has made you His own through Jesus. And may you realize that many faithful brothers and sisters in Christ united their spirit and soul to yours to help you travel through this earthly pilgrimage. May you find strength and comfort knowing that Christ is also the great shepherd who leads you through the valley of the shadow of death. He is the same one who will usher you and us to glory, into eternal blessedness with our triune God. Let us pray. Amen.